visit Gemara that every girl knows. Now, not every girl knows every Gemara. Some girls know some Gemara, right? But there's a Gemara that every girl knows. It's a Chazal, famous Chazal, right? That every girl of Yeshiva girl knows. It's the following phrase. Nashim Daitis Kalafim. You ever hear this? Never heard it? You never heard it? My gosh, this girl is sheltered, right? It literally, what it means is Nashim Daitun Kalasim. It means the das of women are light. Now you see why you might not have heard. You never heard this? You know, it probably doesn't come up too often in women's education, okay? Occasionally women come across this. And of course, this is what we call kind of damage control, okay? And Machalikas bend over backwards. Of course, they don't really mean that. What they really meant is, well, they didn't even mean that. It sounds like they meant. They never said it wasn't really there. And you have to understand, you put it into account. It's Kabbalah. It's Kabbalistic, you know. That's what we always fall back on when you don't explain something, you know. So you'll have some holy rabbi, you know, coming to Septimus, and he'll come and say, this is very, very let me see. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, and everyone's like, what? What is he doing? Is it something? He makes his point. And you have to listen very carefully. This is not an easy idea. And, you know, which is all like, you know, sort of, you see, that's what I like about Rabbi David Horowitz. You see, he'll just come out and say, girls, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just forget about it. Forget about it. Just pretend it never happened, okay? Just pretend to say it. Everyone will have their own particular approach, right? But guys, you see, it's different. You can just say, you know, yeah, it says you're dumb, sit down. But girls get very emotional. I know this because I substituted in sharpness many, many years ago. I mean, in the most part. And that was the second traumatizing event I had. Because when I talk to guys, you know, when I teach guys, they almost never knit. Well, this is, I don't know, if this is a genetic thing, but half the class is going away there, you know. And every now and then, if you say something, they'll look at me and say, what? You know, that could be how it's just a substitute, I don't know. Because I've seen other teachers, and I've had other things, and invariably they ask, do we have to know this for the test? No? And that's what it says in the comments, all the smart women went to knit, you know what I mean? They're all knitting away, you know what I mean? So this wasn't in seminary, you know, but in high school, I taught girls once in high school, and I found this was an amazing thing. Girls won't talk in class. They won't talk in class. But they will do this. They'll hold a hand up to their face and then talk. Because they think if you hold a hand up to your face, no one knows you're talking. You know, they think maybe you have a skin condition or something. The amazing thing is they don't even whisper. They'll just go, could you pass me the note over there? It's like a little kid, you can't see me. I mean, do you think he hears me talking? Who is talking? Not me. I mean, not me. So it's a whole different approach. And guys, you know, you just say, you know, sit down, shut up. You know, like, okay, no problem. But girls, when they finally hit on a point, if they stop hitting, they get very emotional. I can't believe that we're saying it. How can you say that? I can't believe that. You know, so that means my brother is not Jewish? I can't believe that. I can't accept that. I'm sorry. I can't accept that. You know? And that's why people who teach the girls are always very like, you know, well, you have to understand. You know. And then at some point, some girl says, I can't believe this. And runs out the room, you know what I mean? And two of her friends run after her, you know? You know? You know, and then there's the whole pause. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? And you see the teacher try desperately to get control. Ladies, ladies, okay. Ladies, come on. Ladies, come on. Guys, come on. And everybody's talking. Everybody's talking. But, you know, you have to be real careful. You have to, like, you know, make sure I'm presenting. The guys just say, sit down, shut up. You know what I mean? The guy says, well, I'm not comfortable with that. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Boom! All right, fine. I brought you. That's it. It's a lot easier. It's a very emotional kind of point. So, when you approach this chazal, should somebody approach this chazal? No, should that chazal? You have to look at it in a certain context because we're starting off from the following assumption. This is why when I deal with women's issues, you know, especially, I measure, you know, I teach in discovery, I do questions and answers, I have a full secular audience, right? And so you'll have a girl, you'll have a woman, and she'll say to me, Well, why is Judaism so anti-women? Why is women's anti-women? This is the kind of approach, the more feminist approach. So I'll ask a question and I'll say, are there any differences between men and women? And they'll say, no, which is great, because that's a knee-jerk reaction. No. So then I say, stop, look around the room, I'll wait, take a few minutes. Say, can you find any differences between men and women? Okay, there are some. Good, good, that's good. We're starting, good. There are some differences, right? Could you imagine that if there are some physical differences, there are some psychological differences? No. Impossible. Impossible? Is it really impossible that there are any differences? There's a professor in Harvard, a woman professor. She's written paper after paper, study after study, which shows that because women undergo different physical changes, it affects them psychologically. She wrote in the New York Times magazine that when she presents a paper, it's like a shootout of the OK Corral. This is heresy. To suggest that there's psychologically any differences in approach to life between men and women? It's an incredible sort of an experience. The truth of the matter is, you know, all you have to do is really get to know and see and study. You see there are definitely differences. Oh, of course there are exceptions, but basically there are differences. I had one guy once in Discovery, I'll give an example, and I don't know everybody's own approach to this particular subject, but I don't care, I don't work here, I can leave, and if everyone's upset, let everyone else pick up the pieces. But I can't believe the rabbi said that! Anyway, all right, he didn't mean it, calm down, I'm sure, he was just joking. Subject of women learning Gemara, it's a very emotional issue. I know I was once confronted by a girl who studies at a particular seminary where they study Gemara. She said to me, do you allow women to learn Gemara? I don't know if you could sense she has an agenda. I don't know if you can pick up that one from the question. Sometimes from the question you can tell that people are heading in a particular direction. You know? Do you allow women to learn Gemara? You know? I said, me? I don't allow or disallow anything. Who am I? Ooh, that really upset her, to see. Because she's trying to bait me as the black hat, stone-throwing, flag-burning, women-hating, you know, fanatic madman, you understand? So she has to switch tack. So she says, does it bother you when women learn Gemara? Like that? Mm-hmm. Psychological. Ooh. I said, no, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. But that's basically because I don't care that much about people. What do you mean? I don't know. You know, when I see things, it just doesn't bother me. I don't care. Like when I see somebody having trouble, I don't care less. So she's getting stuck here. She's getting frustrated. Well, she learned Gemara, so she says, if a girl would come and ask you, should she learn Gemara, what would you tell? All right. Straightforward question. So I said, what do you care? What? What do you care? You obviously have an agenda. You can care less what I have to say. Any other questions? No, wait a second. I said, look, you know, you're baiting me. You believe that women should learn Gemara for whatever reason, you know, whatever your source is, that's fine. I said, what do you want my reaction? No, really. Okay. I said, the Gemara says that a woman will not find her fulfillment by learning Gemara. So she says to me, that's just an Eitz HaTova. It's not halakha, just an Eitz HaTova. Just good advice. I said, it's true. So if a girl comes to me, should I give her bad advice? She wasn't prepared for that one. No, I'll give you an Eitz HaRa, learn Gemara. So she says, well, you have to understand, the Gemara was talking for different times, and times have changed, and women didn't have education, now women have education, people change, situations change, and change. I said, so when the Gemara said that women should learn Gemara, it was wrong, right? It was out of touch, right? It doesn't relate to us, right? So what do you want to learn it for? You get a feeling where this conversation is going? Okay. At the end, she really got upset at me, okay? She got upset at me, you know, and she said, I can't believe this, and I'm going to put it in it. She ran out crying, all right, you know. But the point is, you know, that obviously this is, you know, a certain emotional approach, a different approach that you can take when you deal with these subjects. So I say, are there any differences psychologically, any differences between men and women? Is it possible, you know? I can tell you for a fact, you understand? I mean, I've got 7 children, 6 daughters. There's a difference. No question. You know, a boy, you know, and I see the little boys, they have, you know, all my daughters, they're all science experimenters, you know what I mean? You give them a cup of juice, you know what I mean? You know, with a little napkin, you know what I mean? So they pour it over, and then they look. You want to see about gravity, it's really true, you know what I mean? They'll pour it on, they'll wipe it off. My son, maybe give him, crumble it up like a ball and throw it, boom, you know what I mean? It's just these kind of things. Anything he has turns into a gun. Boom, 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 boom. That's my thing to kill, you know what I mean? You know, that's right. So the poor kid, he's one boy, one girl, and the girls always keep saying, Yaakov, Yaakov, Ema, Yaakov, that's my thing, Yaakov, everything, everything, everything. gonna get a smack. You understand? Because he's like, oh, it's all right. The girls are like, I'm crazy. Oh, you know, you're a roommate, so don't tell you. When these apartments start fighting, right? You know, because, you know, one girl is like a total neat freak, and she goes all the time cleaning, and then, you know, and you have a roommate who, like, you know, like she cooks something, and then she rinses out with water in two fingers, you know, you pick up, this is the, all right, who used the bar? Who used it? Come on, you tell me. Oh, sure, I'll clean it up. Don't worry about it. I'll do it. Three girls in a room, everyone says she's the sloth. How could everyone else be the sloth? You know what I mean? Look, she throws her stuff on the floor. Your stuff is on the floor. That's in a pile. My stuff, see? Her stuff is a mess. You know what I mean? She doesn't use deodorant. So, what about you? You make a protective cloud around you. Half a can, you let a match open to blow up. Boom, man. She left the stove in the sink. She doesn't put the thing in there. You know what I mean? And so they won't say anything. They'll sit down with their madrichal, the stove with Rabbi Shavu, and say, we have a problem. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. I don't know if it's my place. But you know, I just, hold on a second. Should I tell them about this? You know, I want to be calm. You know, kind of thing. And so there's psychological differences too. Right? Psychological differences. There's differences in approach. And like I said, we take the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't favor men or women. Now, if I have a discovery group, they'll say, well, if there is a God and she thinks this, well, what does she think, you know? I said, well, you'd have to ask her. I imagine she has no problem with this, you know. Oh, I thought you thought God is a man. Talking about? We're talking about a non-physical entity. You think he has a long beard, and he walks around like a man, you know, like, come on, that's Zeus, it's like God. You've got mythology here. Well, how can we always say he? Ever hear the term Shechina? Right? Remember Pamate? That's a girl's name. You know what I mean? Shechina, the Shechina, that's feminine. Because God's not he or she. God doesn't favor man or women. And I'm going to put myself on the line here. I know it's a little scary, but I'm betting that if God wanted to, he could have made us all the same. It's radical. But I say that if God is infinite, he probably could have made us all the same. Right? Worked with the hydrants, worked with the paramecians. In fact, it works better evolutionarily. Because if you need another one, you just split in half. Zoo. Right? And then you say, hey, look, he's got my arms. Got my arms. Got my legs. Got my entire torso. He's exactly like me. Perfect. What could be better than have everyone look like you? Zoo. 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 Right? Unless you're having a bad hair day. Everyone in the world has a bad hair day. But in any event, right, God could have made us all the same. He chose to make us different. Men one way, women a different way. Psychologically, spiritually, etc. Everyone's going to find fulfillment. The Chazal, we rely upon for everything, to tell us whether or not when it says creates hoga, it's talking about a plum, or whether it's talking about an apple, and everyone knows when it says creates hoga, it means a citron. And let's face it, if it was left up to consensus, no one would pick a citron, because what does anyone got to do with a citron? You understand? Come look at you left with hundreds of citrons with nothing to do with, you know? It's like, you can't even put it in your tea, you know? It's like a lemon on steroids, you know? What I mean? What are you going to do with it, you know? But everyone in the world knows creates hoga means a citron, means an estrogen. All the same kind of things, which we all rely upon. Torah comes out and says, don't do any malacha. Over and over again, don't do any malacha, don't do any malacha, don't do any malacha. Moshe comes down from the mountain. What does this mean? Well, whatever you think. Whatever you think is work. Interpret it yourself. You know? But it says here that if I do any of this malacha, you're going to put me to death. That's right. Good guessing. And you don't see any place where they take the guy out for gathering sticks. You didn't say gathering sticks. I don't think that's working. I mean, kill him, boys. Everyone seems to know what malacha was. Right? That seemed pretty clear. All these things were pretty clear to everybody, right? So the Chazal tell us that there are differences between men and women. With all that as an introduction, they tell us. Nashim daifus kalafim. Women's das is kalafim. Right? Sounds sexist, sounds terrible, but the Chazal say so. I'm going to let you know a little reality. The Gemara says, Nashim daifus kalafim, and Rashi tells us, like the mice of Bruria. Listen to this Rashi. Everyone knows, anyone here come to Bruria? Is it Bruria? Cool? Yeah? Okay. So you'll appreciate the story. Bruria, we hear the whole story. We know Bruria was married to the mayor. She was a tremendous scholar. Yeah. And so the mayor said, Nashim daifus kalafim. And Bruria laughed. So the mayor says, He says, fine, okay. This is the mayor. Remember, this is Rabbi Huda Nasi's Rabbi, the redactor of the Mishnah. So the mayor goes back to the yeshiva, and he asks one of the Talmidim to seduce his wife. It gets better. So comes the time and he says, Julia, you know, you really are looking. Boy, are you cute? And then you want to, She says, ugh, disgusting, go away. He sends her flowers, writes her notes, she writes back, you don't know, a terrible thing, go away. Every day he comes over, every day another line. And eventually, Julia says yes. No. Yes. I can't believe it. Maria says yes. And at that moment, the mayor pops out of the closet and says, ha ha, look at those cow things. And Maria kills herself. Ruch ato Adonai, Elohimu melech ha'olam shehakol nehyeh b'sechah. I was once in the middle of the shiur on tefillah. And someone brought me something to drink, and I said, wait, 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 wait. He said, is that the way we're supposed to do it, Rabbi? Shut up. Anyway. So anyway, you hear this story? Unbelievable story. The mayor brings someone to seduce his own wife. His wife says yes. He jumps out and says, ha ha, let's go. She kills him. Let's examine the story for a moment. If Nashim Dikas Kalatane means that women are stupid, then you have to admit this is the wrong approach. Shall we choose not to want to taste this? You know what I mean? Shlug a pasvora, ask a 10 kashas on a kabura, you know, bring a manaya big kasha, and the, hey, you know how to learn, you know how to learn anything, sit down, go and take a cookie in the kitchen, you know what you're doing. Show she doesn't know anything. Ask the 10 kashas, give a riddle. That's what he does. He says, Moshem Dagas Kalfane, and what does he do? He sends one of the Talmidim to come and seduce him. And what's more amazing is he's successful. This is brilliant. What this means is the following, and this is a reality. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's a reality. This week's Pasha. Pasha is the Shpatim. There's two Pashas in the Torah. One is called Ones, and one is called Mephatis. Rape. We understand. Woman is rape. Get to it. Mephatis is seduction. If you seduce a girl, she is not held responsible. Understand, right? Seduction. She said yes. She agreed. She pretended to adult. Not true. Because there's a concept in Torah called merchandise of calvary. That means that when it comes, and this is what you can see, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to these sort of inyanim, women are dumb. I hate to put it into such terms, but, you know, women just have a dumb streak. Now, I hope everyone's real upset at this point. It's going to get worse. Because when I say this to a group of guys, right? Now listen to this, and you'll appreciate this. I say to a group of guys, guys, have you ever noticed that girls fall for the dumbest lines? They all nod. Yeah! And I put the following point, and they all agree. A guy will go over to a girl and give the dumbest line, and all the guys are snickering, and the girl says, really? And every guy knows this is the biggest, most insincere lout that ever walked the face of the earth. He's a liar. He's a cad. You wouldn't trust this guy for 2 seconds. I wouldn't leave him with my 3-year-old daughter. You know what I'm saying? Intelligent women fall for the same dumb line. If I had a dollar for every girl who came to me, intelligent, educated, with careers, with a liberal girl, who say to me, but he thought he meant it. And I say to myself, boy, are you dumb? Dumb, dumb, dumb. How could you think that? But he said, he's an animal! Don't believe a word, he's an animal! Okay, now, two stories. There was a time that I was hired to train advisors going back to America. Parenthetically, I'll tell you a funny story. I was under the aegis of the Israel Center. And they run a program in Sotz. They used to have Shabbaton at the end of the year, mixed Shabbaton guys and girls together. So I said, I'm going to make a training Shabbaton, I'm going to make one for girls and one for guys. So they said to me, it'll never go. It'll never go, nobody will come. We've tried it, all work. I said, how many people participate in the sales program? They said, 250. How many come to the Shabbaton? 40. How come the rest don't come? Well, for some of them it's a bad weekend, I agree with you, for some of them it's a bad weekend. I said, is it possible there are some people who don't come because it's mixed? Possible. Is it possible that the people who don't come because it's mixed is larger than the amount of people who will only come if it is mixed? No. No. But okay, so listen, I'll do it my way, you do it your way. I made a separate girl's shabbaton, a boy's shabbaton. The The girls' shopping center, we had 80. The boys' shopping center, we had 120. We canceled this in the year. They couldn't get anybody. They didn't do it as a fluke. And then the next year, the numbers were bigger. Okay? But this was interesting. So it was on Kirov training and how to do Kirov and all that kind of stuff. So at the end, the Shalashuda said there's an open question and answer. Any question you wanted to ask, let's put on the table how you'd answer. The question came up, well, what about Megillah? I said, okay, let me explain something to you. Guys are only partially human. Partially. Guys are liars. Guys are insincere. Guys will say anything. They'll promise anything. They'll do anything. You see? You can't believe a word they say. Liars. So remember that when a guy and a girl are holding hands, the only one who's holding hands is the girl. The guy's already planning his next move. This is Prussian. If any guy. You see? There's no guy who holds hands with a girl and says, ah, completion. This is all I ever wanted. This is so nice. The girl is talking, thinking that. She's going, the guy's like, what can I get away with? What can I do my next move? What can I do? Guys, and I don't want to see that little secret. There's a group of guys and a pretty girl walks by. Not one of them says, I want to hold her hand. Not one of them, okay? So I tried to develop this a little bit, and every girl in the room, without exception, from the most modern to the most basic girl, was doing the same thing. This. The whole girl said that? Yeah, I don't think so. No matter what I said, I couldn't convince them. Okay? A week later, I had the boys' shabbaton. Now, I want you to appreciate this. These are boys who all went to fine yeshivas. I'm not talking about guys from the more wild places. Guys, Shalavim, KBY, you know what I mean? Fine places, fine yeshivas. Okay? Fine, wonderful guys. All guys with yeshiva high school educations. All guys ostensibly from. All guys who decided, and this is, you know, about 8 years ago, it wasn't so mikubal to learn in Eretz for a year. All guys who chose to learn in Eretz for a year, this is at the end of the year of learning Eretz. Of the guys who chose to learn in Eretz, these are the guys who want to get involved in Kirov, to the point that they're willing to come to a Shabbaton to learn how. This is at the end of that Shabbaton, at the end of the year in Eretz. And the question came up, what about Megillah? I said, you know as well as I do, guys are the biggest liars in the world, they'll say anything, they'll do anything, they'll like this, right? They stood up and cheered. There was a girl who was staying with somebody at the place who was not showing the gear. She went like this. I thought she was going to run for our life. Now, to any guy, this was pushing. You said, everyone knows this. Obviously, no guy's going to say, I'm an animal. Because that doesn't work. They say, you know, I really love you. You know how I feel about you. Come on. That's pressure. Guys understand this. You don't say that. But every guy, when they hear the truth, knows it. I'd love to be able to get this together. So, there was this program run by NCSY called JOLT. Jewish Overseas Leadership Training, something or other. Okay. They take them for the summer to Eastern Europe, the concentration camps. Very powerful experience. You see these people when they come back, they're like shattered. You know what I mean? Everyone says, what camp did you go to? Pick all up. What camp did you go to? Auschwitz. I saw the death camps. I thought, okay, please, no, you're bumming me out. You know what I mean? I saw the trains. I thought, okay, please, no, I'm going to have lunch, please. You know? And they're like, so, they become, it's unbelievable. Do you know what this is for the guys and girls who go on the trip? It's like such a fusing program. It's very powerful. Everyone goes through this heavy emotional experience together. And then after that, they come to Eretz Yisrael. From destruction to rebirth. Very powerful, right? And they come to Eretz Yisrael, and by this point you can imagine the closeness and distance these people and the warmth and love. So they come to Eretz Yisrael, and one year one of the people used to be an advisor for me when I was a regional director was running it, and they said, oh, well, have everyone asked to do a question and answer. Big mistake. So they bring me in, and sure enough, one girl raises her hand, and she says, what about platonic relationships? What's wrong with them? So I said, you should know. Guys are the biggest liars in the world. You can't believe a word that they say. They'll promise you anything. They'll say anything. You can't believe. Bah, 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 like this. Every girl in the room is going like this. Every guy is going like this. To a guy. Is there every guy in the room, sinking into the seat. Okay? And the girls slowly start looking around the room, and they go, with a look of horror on their face, and they can't believe it. So finally, one girl raised her hand and said, aren't the guys going to say anything? Now you'd think at least they would lie. You'd think, lie! So no one will move. Like, for 2 minutes, nobody would move. The silence was deafening. Finally, one guy sort of meekly raises his hand, and I say, yes. He says, come on, Rabbi, you have fun. Give us a chance. I said, I got swimming at 12. I didn't have any fun. I don't owe you anything. You know what I'm saying? That was the closest I came to a response. All right? And the girls walked out of that, and they said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. They were shocked. And the guys are like, well, what are we supposed to say? I mean, it's true. Every guy was pushing. He was pushing. I work with secular audiences in Discovery, guys and girls. And some Gil comes in, and Gil is like very feeling and wonderful and sweet and nice and that kind of stuff, you know. And then I'm usually in question and answers. And then some guy or some girl, these are all people who are sexually active, who have relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Right? And they'll say, so, what about kind of relations? What about guys? What about touching that? So I say, guys are the biggest lies in the world. You can't believe a word that they say. They'll tell you anything. Blah, 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 blah. And every guy says, it's true. Yeah, it's true. And the girl's like, no, you don't mean every guy. And every guy says, sure, ask somebody. And even the most sensitive guys, like, you know, you see they want to try to deny it, but they can't. They just can't deny it. Okay? I know this is a somewhat frightening reality, and that girls never believe me. Girls say, but not this guy. You know why? Because I don't care what he says. The rabbi, I don't care what he says. We're just friends. Now, 10 years ago, I never saw the movie, but I used to just say, did you ever see when Harry met Sally? And everybody would say, oh, okay, you're right. I forget. Forget it. And then it was that movie with Billy Crystal, and it's all about this stuff. And, oh, no, it's kind of rich. The problem is the following, and I want you to work with me here for a minute. If you were really interested in a guy, and you wanted him to be more than a friend, and you know he only wanted a friendship, what would you tell him? Would you say, listen, I know you only want to have a friendship, and I'll do that because I'm deeply in love with you, and I'm hoping that you'll one day change your mind? No, of course not. Don't be stupid. You'd say, that's okay, we'll just be friends. You'll keep a picture of him, and you'll send him cards with, like, little cats and dogs, and, you know what I mean, blurry people on the cover, all that kind of stuff, you know, because you're hoping that you'll slowly win him over. Okay. I had girls who I knew for a fact these guys were desperately in love with them, or at least desperately in lust with them, you understand? And they swore to me that it's just a platonic relationship. And I said, then how do you know? Guess what the answer is? He told me! Brilliant! Of course he told you, you moron! What do you think he's going to say? You think he's going to say, I'm desperately lusting after you, and I'm hoping for a physical relationship, and I'm trying to talk you out of being coming to Kia? Of course not, you nitwit! He's going to tell you, I just want to be friends! What kind of idiot would fall for a line like that? I can't believe it. And you know how many times I see the same thing and they swear to me, but we're just friends. So I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you're friends with girls? Yeah. You're friends with guys? Sure. I said, let me ask you something. When your friends with guys meet you, do they look you up and down head to toe? Yeah. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they admire your taste in clothes? Yeah. You're an idiot. Of course not, you jerk. Don't you understand that guys are animals? But not him. He's different. Ah! 2.5 billion are the same, and he's the exception. You found the one exception in the crowd, the whole world. But then, that's what it's a din, the fact of the table. Because girls are dumb. They fall for the same dumb lies over and over again. How can anyone believe that? You know that this guy is working on a different level. Right? But he told me. You see? And they'll look me in the face and say, but he told me he meant it. Of course he told you he meant it. If that's the only way he could get you to agree, then he would say, I meant it. He'll say anything. He'll promise, he'll swear, he'll cry. Because it makes no difference to him. Why not? You see? He's thinking on a different level. Okay. Now it could be that somebody will say to me, look, Rabbi Olasky, your experience, your anecdotal evidence is interesting. But we're part of a halachic process. That's what people fall back on when they're really stuck. Okay. We're part of a halachic process. What does the halacha say? Okay. The Rambam says the following. The Shulchan Aruch fraskins the following. We'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara says the following statement. Ein apotropos la'arayos. This means, no one is trustworthy when it comes to sexual matters. No one. You mean even if someone's Amin Orbach? That's right. The din of Yichud even applies to him. But he's so holy. I remember everybody tell his book about him. Yes. It says, even Rav Shlomo Zalman. But only about Robert Keller himself. He sings those little songs when he speaks. He looks so holy. His eyes glow. That's right. He could apply even to Rabbi Keller. Even to Rabbi Septimus. Even to Rabbi Shachman. He's still different. The din is the same. Hey, I'm going to tell us all right. Okay, we know Paskin from Gomorrah. Ah, excellent. The Rambam brings it down to Halacha. And I'm a Jonathan Arias. No qualification. That's just the Rambam. Okay, Shulchan Aruch brings it down. And I'm a Jonathan Arias. Okay, we're getting into trouble. Let's switch. Let's go Ebn Ezra. Shulchan Aruch says the following. Tzorech l'srachek min hanoshim ma'od ma'od. You know, there's two ma'ods in there. Okay? You know why? Because people are dumb. Dumb. Because they say, well, not me. If it just said, Circus Rachek ma'od, that would only mean a little bit. You see, because it always says a lot. So he has to say, a lot. Far, far away. Far, far, far away. Right? Because no one is considered trustworthy. You know who's considered trustworthy? It's true. There are certain people considered trustworthy when you are dead. Now today I'm not even sure. Okay? But in the old days, at least when you were dead, that was considered safe, right? Okay. Sorry for this, we're acting in the national movement. But come on. All right. It's a gentleman by the name of Moshe Feinstein, the Bracha. You may have heard of him. There's an art school book about him. You have to be contemporary. If art school didn't write about him, he doesn't count. Okay? it. If us did write about him, it could be, you know, Mr. Mike, you understand? And he's like the most special guy in the entire world. It's an art school story about him. Good, all right. The Moshe had a whole book, a little light went off in the stomach. We are unbelievable, great stuff. We don't know all about him. Terrific. The Moshe has a tshuva. And I love the tshuva because it starts off with the following. He writes the kasha. He's writing, he's in a summer camp in upstate New York, right? The Catskills. So he said, there are these young men who came over to me and asked me a kasha. What about a young man and a young woman who aren't going on shidduchim, who want to have a relationship, right? Mitan Reyes has friends. Just want to be friends. They're not doing anything, there's no touching, there's no this and that, just as friends. Right? And they write the following. I have to see the face of the guy who had the Ozis to talk to Jerry Revelation. And he says, right. And they said, they don't want to hear any mussar. They don't want to hear any hanhugas tovos. They don't want to hear any speeches. Just halacha tuka. Just the halacha. You hear this? Just the halacha. And he says, so I'm not going to give them any mussar. I'm not going to give any speeches. Just halacha. He goes through Rambam, Ramban. He brings down Avos to Rabbi Nosson. He brings down source after source after source. And when the dust clears, he says, push it. Push it, usher. Without any discussion. Now, anyone who wants, get your copy of the tube, you go through all the lumbus, etc., and all the nice things, because it's really frightening. I do this with the guys in the Sulzer Sharmashir, you know, I go through it, and everyone says, oh, see that. Show it to the side, we learn through all the riots, we go through the stuff, and slowly you see this thing dawning on them as you work through it. It's halacha psuka. It's real. Right? It really comes out that it's also really, 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 okay? So besides all the other things we're talking about, black and white halacha is true. Now I'll tell you even more. I'll tell you on another level. There's a family here in Yerushalayim. True story. They used to have guests over all the time in the Heritage House. They were probably true. The husband was a nice guy, quiet guy. The woman was very outgoing, very vivacious. And she basically carried, you know, the table, the excitement would go on. And one time these people came over to the Heritage House, and this one fellow, he was really interested in religion, etc., etc., and so she was sitting there talking with him. Husband finally excused himself, he had to go to sleep, you know, and she was talking to him, and he used to come by, and she was managed to be in the car with him, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Terrific, really very good. She divorced her husband and married the guy. He became permaculture. Khalil, that she would marry a non guy, who she went out of to such lengths to be Makari. You understand? And what about your husband? Let me tell you a frightening fact. you can only have a limited number of really close relationships. I can have relationships, no question about it. But really close relationships where I'm going to sit on the phone and schmooze with somebody for 3 hours in the middle of the night about my problems, there's only so many relationships like that I can possibly form in a lifetime. And if you get married to a guy, and there's two other guys out there who you feel much closer to, then one of two things are going to happen. Those three things. Either you're going to be very frustrated, you're going to have a terrible lack in your own marriage, or something terrible is going to happen. Not me. I ain't not the Trappist I write. You know who's trustworthy? Nobody. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's certain girls who will say to me, but I want you to do something. I can only really relate to a guy. That might be true. And please God, it'll be your husband. And I have to tell you, you know, when I talk to high school kids, when I talk to these guys at the national convention, you know, I remember I said to them, I said, to talk to you about dating, I have to talk to you about marriage. And to talk to you about marriage, I have to talk to you about death. Because as far as at your age, they're the same thing. You know they'll happen one day, but they're so far in the future, who can even relate to it? You understand? It's so far away. Who can... Okay, marriage. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's not that far away. A year, 2 years. Especially if you stay here a second year, you'll marry some color guy. But anyway, just kidding. But anyway, you know, you're not that far away. Getting married, starting a family. Oh, you don't have to. My wife has a lot of single friends who have built terrific careers, never got married, probably never will, but quick careers, you know, going full force. But the point is, you're getting into the posture, right? How many guys do you want who are like really, really close friends? My best friend. Who calls you up when he's upset? Oh, there are guys I know who are married, and when they're really upset, they call this girl they know. I feel so bad for his wife. Why shouldn't your wife be the person? Why shouldn't your husband be that person? I don't know, we've been friends for so long. I just feel closer to him than I do to my husband. Ooh, is that tragic? Is that tragic? There comes a point, my friends, because Baruch Hu created one man and one woman, not three of each. She didn't create Chava and Adam and Shlomi and Moshe, who she had very close relationships with, but they were just friends. You understand? But Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we don't have that ability to link too many people at a time. Hello, hello. The truth is not like this. All right, I'm lying. The truth is, like I said, that guys are just different. And you know what? You're right. Women do have this ability. Baruch Hashem. That's why we get married. We get married, and let me qualify what I say. Does that mean that every guy is evil? No, definitely not. Every guy wants to be good. Wants to be good. And Mr. Hashem, you'll find a guy who's a Ben Torah, who's striving to grow, whose emphasis is becoming better, who every day and every week and every year wants to be a better person, who every Yom Kippur wants to sit down and make a Cheshbon HaNefesh and find you're a better person than they were this Yom Kippur than last Yom Kippur. And that's the kind of person you want to build a life with. Because you want to be able to have a home that's mamish filled with Kedusha. That's the foundation behind it. That's clear. So you want to find a guy like that. Okay? But that, you should know that he's wrestling with a part of himself. He is. On a different level than you are. They're different. Right? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Right? They're more aggressive and they're, you know, all those wonderful things that they have to bring into a relationship. Right? But because of that, you understand, you take it outside of that context, and that's it. You take out the yud from the ish, you take out the hay from the isha, and you're just left with ish. That's it. And it's very appropriate. Right? The ish has the yud and the isha has the hay. Because what does Rashi say in Behi Baram? Right? In Gracious? Behi Baram. This word was created with hay, Shemayim was created with yud. Because the yud sends down the shefa, right? The Shemayim sends down the rain, the earth takes and creates life. The earth has that power to reach inside of it and create life.
The yud has the power to contribute, to get it started. There'll be a man out there who you'll marry who's going to help you realize your greatest potential, and who you'll help to realize his greatest potential. Or you can form these little relationships. Although there's other clouds, that when you really need them, they're floating over Cleveland. You understand? Off they go. That's a choice you have to make. And I have to tell you, really meaningful relationships, you only have the ability to form so many in a lifetime. It's kedai to focus it on somebody who's really good. Questions? Hey, nobody left. My goodness. You're a brave group. All right. So, yes?
What's the depth of this?
I'm referring you to the tshuva. Right? It's kedai to go through it, because I don't want to discuss all of that in a public forum, but it's kedai to go through the tshuva. All right, my friends. Everyone's slightly stunned. Yes? What a frightening concept. Clearly not. Yes?
Now you can miss this whole thing about guys
or
us pigs.
No,
you're like, have your girlfriend just
to,
like, goodbye, you're a pig, nice knowing you.
No. That's why I said at the end, I don't mean to say they're pigs. I mean to say that they have that potential. So consequently, right? Consequently, a guy wants to be good. A guy wants to be good. I believe that. Especially a guy who's a Ben-Tyra. He wants to do the right thing. But it's hard. There was a cartoon in Funky Winkerbean. I don't know if he's still around. Yeah. He's still around? Comic strip, Funky Winkerbean. And I remember one time a friend was saying to Funky that this thing came out, this study, and it said that the average teenage boy spends 47 seconds out of every minute thinking about sex. And he stops, and he says, what does he do the rest of the time? You understand? To say that there's an obsession is unfair. And all you have to do is see these movies, these teenage movies, that are aiming towards the teenage boys. And I have to tell you that they're not usually filled with deep, lasting relationships that they're forming in a meaningful level with women. That's not what they're about. Why? Because this is what they are. There's an age. It's an age. It's raging. So they have to try to keep it under control. Okay? So now I say to this guy, all right, here's this guy who's basically a nice guy, but I know, right, that if I'm going to have this relationship, and I'll let you know another little secret, which guys usually admit after a while. Guys don't usually have platonic relationships with girls they don't find attractive. It just works out that way, just dumb luck. You know what I mean? But it's just funny. You know what I mean? Guys don't usually have platonic relationships with really hideous looking girls. You know what I mean? I wonder why. But in any event, so there is this other element there. So you say, listen, I really care about you and I really respect you, but I care about you too much to keep this relationship going. It's not fair to the girl you're going to marry, it's not fair to the guy I'm going to marry. So then they'll often, not always, often try to line away, well, maybe this is for Toelis. Maybe this is, not right now, but it could be after a little few years, like, that this could really develop into something. Anyone ever get that one? Yeah? So then you say, okay, then you know my number. And it's not easy, don't you understand? You formed a very powerful bond and you have to split it. It's very hard. Yes?
I know this is
tweeting
something that you've done
actually done, but... For me? I'm so easygoing, I can't imagine what you're
doing. Is this at all possible in the conception of, like, the entire world? Is it at all thinkable that a guy and a girl might not be attracted to each other at
yes.
all?
Yes.
When you're alive.
What? Yes. Absolutely. Now I'll let you know a little secret. Okay? Any guy can be attracted to any girl, and any girl can be attracted to any guy. And that's why, you know, you probably know it yourselves, those of you who dated or whatever, you know, you'll come back from date and you'll say, he's nice, but I don't think he's attractive. And after the relationship grows, he's kind of cute. What happened? What happened is that there's always more to a relationship. We can choose to love anyone. I'll tell you a scary story. This guy got set up with this girl from a very wealthy family. And he came back from the first date, and he says to his roommate, she's a nice girl, but I'm not attracted to him. So he says, I bet you'd be pretty if you dress up $100 bills. They got married. But the point is, you can choose to be attracted to whoever you want. So is it possible that initially I'm not attracted to... Ah, come on. You know this. Is anyone in this room who can tell me that there's never been somebody who you were not attracted to and developed an attraction for? Yes. Right. You can say that. That doesn't mean he can. And you'll never know because he won't tell you the truth. Yes.
Well, men are pigs.
They're not. They're potential pigs.
They won't be any nicer. They'll be any like more considerate when they get married.
That's why you want to. I know what you're saying. That's why you want to marry a guy who's not running around with relationships with 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 other girls.
No, but what's the difference? But they're going to have that distinction there, the characteristics there, because they don't speak
well. Every person is, like every man, even more than women, because, even we know the term statistics, every man is a potential murderer. Right? And therefore, a guy who likes to throw knives at people and shoot into crowds is not the kind of guy I want to hang around with. So any guy has the potential to dehumanize women. In fact, I'll take it even further than that. Dehumanizing each other is the strongest drive we have. And that's the reason why when other Kaaba ate the Sadat, the first thing they said is, hey, we're naked, let's make clothes. Because suddenly when the Ra came inside of them, they said, I have the potential to dehumanize somebody. And that was scary to them. And they wanted to cover themselves up. I just had another thought. I mean, I wasn't planning on getting into this, but this is another idea about girls being dumb. I went to the Central Hotel, and I didn't appreciate this, so I went back to America and I visited Burger Park, okay? I went to the Central Hotel, and there's a guy, the whole bit, and he's there with his son, with the Bruschettas, and his daughter's there, with the skirt that comes above the knee. And she's sitting there for all the world to see. Okay? So, I was a little surprised. Okay? I see in Hainov, Heilige Hainov, where I live, the guy is walking down the street, typical, you know, got the pants behind his ears, his hat's on a little crooked, he's the woman is wearing this scoop neck dress with a short skirt and a slit. And I said to my wife, what is he thinking? Does he think nobody's looking at his wife? Now, I'll tell you what I think girls are dumb. Because girls really think that when they dress this way, guys are admiring their fashion sense. They don't think that they're just staring at you like you're a pinup. Like you're just a naked picture. They are. It's a reality. So, if you're going to marry a guy who, you're right, you know, subscribes to Penthouse, you know, who walks to the street checking out the door, whoa, okay? You're right. Then you're marrying a guy who has the potential not to be sincere in a relationship. But if you have a guy who knows that this is a potential and works to control it, yes, there's a cousin from Shmuel Sinai. A guy's not supposed to look when he walks down the street. Is there? And you always have girls who say, well, if he stands, it's his problem. Is there? No. If somebody dehumanizes me, that's my problem. You understand? There was this girl in Discovery, you know, she was not wearing that much, you understand? And she says, I think guys respect me, you know? So I said to another girl, I said, when that guy talks to her, just watch where he's looking. Piece of advice between you and me, okay? She says, you're right. See? Eye contact they weren't making. You understand? And the point is that he has no respect for this girl as a person. It's not interested in what she has to say. You understand? I'll let you know another secret. I'm a little scared. I'll give away all these men's secrets. Guys are upset at me. I'll tell them when they're written some of speeches, you know? When a guy says another guy, and a guy says something that sounds kind of cutesy, the guy will respond to him like, oh, that's so stupid, shut up. Right? When a girl says it, they go like this. It's not because they think it's wittier or more intelligent. It's because they'll suffer through it. Because they're interested on a bigger level. So you're right. Now you've got to make a decision. Every guy has this potential to dehumanize you. But you want to look for a guy who is interested in not forming a bunch of relationships with a bunch of girls, is not sitting on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning squeezing with 3 or 4, you know, really close friends. You understand? And then, you know, you see him in a pizza place, and these 3 girls come up to him, hi, Slimy, hi, hi. He's like, hey, oh, you sweetheart, oh, you're great, how you doing, oh, bah, 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 bah. You know, you see if this is like his fiance or his wife, and their mouth drops open and say, who's that? Oh, she's just a friend. Right, remember the time we were, ah, and the wife was like, with tears coming out of her ears. He says, oh, don't be so jealous, you got a problem. No, he's got a problem. And she does have a problem. Him. You understand? So if you, and if you marry a guy like that, good luck. Good luck. And if he's faithful to you, Baruch Hashem. And if he's not, well, life's tough. You understand? And I have to tell you, I'd like to tell you that this is not on the rise. But I might as well tell you that a study was done in Queens College of the Magdal Fest community on campus. And they discovered that the majority of the guys were engaging in premarital sex. Period. And when they get up in Lincoln Square Synagogue on the West Side, and they have to speak out in public about the tefillin dates. You know about those? When the guy takes the tefillin with him on the date, because he needs it for the morning, right? And this is the book. And you have mikvahs in communities around the New York area, where they have to mock up for single women to use them, so at least they won't be high of curries. Well, wake up and smell the coffee, kids. I'm telling you, that's what's going on out there. It's a reality. And if you want a guy like that, get yourself an apartment on the West Side. Good luck to you. I'll see you when you're 35. But, and we'll have the conversation again. Is that? But if that's not what you want, then, you know, start making a decision who you are, what you want to marry, what kind of home you want. You want a husband who's looking all over the place like he looked at you? And if he's only looking at you, he's looking at 4 other people at the same time? Well, what do you think's going on? I'm sorry. I mean, like, it's a sad reality, but that's what's out there. You know, and you have to decide what you want. You want the guy who's really popular, who all the girls flock to, or you want a guy who knows how to set up gedarim. I was single as a regional director my first couple of years. You see? People said, how did you do? I said, I built gedder on top of gedder on top of gedder. So, when I was in Shabbaton, I was with the kids. Non-stop. And at the end, when everybody was going out to Howard Judges for ice cream, I politely excused myself. And when all the advisors went to shoes in the back, I had other things to do. And if you want the guy who, at the advisor Shabbaton, wants to sit down at the table with the girls so that they can get involved and let them know, because we're a team, let's work together, he ain't the marrying kind. Oh, no. He ain't the marrying kind. Anyway, I'm just telling you. Yo, listen. That's what's out there. You understand? Yes. Hold on a second. Is there any rapper in the world who talks like this? Is this straight? No, I'm it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you frankly. There were these girls from Beis Yaakov in my house with these skirts, like girls just at the meeting, so when they sit down they keep doing this the whole time, you know what I mean? And I said, well, did they talk about this when you were in high school? They said, epis, they said, sensitivity, it's sneeze. I said, guys are looking at you like you are a naked lady. They're staring at you like you're a prostitute. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Then I thought they'd have a heart attack. I said, someone's got to tell you the reality, kid. Wake up. Understand? No, it's not a question of certain levels of chance. It's a question of you are dehumanizing yourself and turning yourself into a piece of meat. I'm sorry, what's the question? Some more soda? I'd love some. Thank you very much.
Professional relationship with colleagues. How do you keep it professional?
Oh my gosh, this used to be such a question. Did you ever hear of Anita Hill? Did you have a book and a movie called Disclosure? They had these hearings on Capitol Hill about sexual harassment. You know, and they started discussing, you know, he said this dirty joke, he made this vulgar statement, and everyone said, come on, that's just office talk. That's Makubal, that's how people talk. And as the stuff started to come out, suddenly the first lady said, hey, you know these little colo wives who we send off to work all the time, or we said you shouldn't go to Kaba Kaba? What's going on out there? And they started asking their wives, does this stuff ever happen? She said, sure, all the time. It's scary. So when you sit down and have a professional relationship, you build gedder on top of gedder on top of gedder, over and over and over again. Trust God. I don't see these letters to Dr. Morris Mandel, which he writes, where he says, that was a joke, think about it. Anyway, where he says things like, you know, these married women, they write in, my husband is not that interesting, I go off to work and I meet these exciting people, and blah, 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 blah. And now they have to figure out what to do. Should she sleep with them or not? Should she break up the relationship? How hard? Blah, blah, blah. not only have a husband, he says, I don't know, my wife, she comes home, she's calling this guy from the office, and that guy from the office, and this guy from the office. You know, if you have to have a professional relationship, build together on top, together on top, together, and be afraid. Ain't up a trumpet's law, Rios is a halacha. Don't trust yourself. Yes. Yes.
What about gay guys? I'd like to see if you guys would say that was a question.
When I was in Discovery, Mutty Burger sang these things. Hey, it's a legitimate question. So, you know, somebody asked me once, if a guy is gay, which side of the machitza does he sit? So, Mutty Burger said, you know, because this is the big thing now, homosexual people can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. So Mutty Burger said, you know what it means if you can't help yourself? It means if two guys are about to engage in a homosexual relationship and smoke is coming in the door, people start screaming, fire, 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 and they go through with it anyway, that's called not helping yourself. But like I told you, the motivation is strong enough, you can fall in love with anything, with anybody, etc., etc., etc. So a guy says, I'm definitely gay, and I'm not interested. Usually there's the swing, you understand? Heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, and people are experimenting and trying out different things. So a guy can tell you anything he wants, like Morgan. You see, you sort of be confident. Where the towels are, here's the yeah. What's up? Stunned, aren't you? Yes. Hi.
Okay.
Don't be nervous. What do you want?
Environment,
your friends can be guys and girls. And if you have 10 guy friends,
you're not all
after it.
And you're not
after
all
10 of them. Right. So you have a platonic relationship with all of them. So you hope. I'll let you know a little secret. I know I shouldn't reveal these things. You know, the guys are talking among themselves. They're not usually discussing platonically with the other girls in the group. Sorry to tell you that. So although, when everyone's all together, the guys are all going, and they're alone like, hey, I'm all and they're discussing it in less than the most platonic terms. You can have a platonic relationship if you like Plato. Think about it. Anyway. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What is a girl, someone who is
I met a girl in the Bay who is the head of a psychiatric department, and she had a whole bunch of patients, and she gave it up to come here and learn. I said, "What'd you do with your patients?" As I understand it, in these psychological relationships, it's very, very strong. She says, that's true. There's something called transference. And if our motivation is strong enough, we can transfer somebody to somebody else. Yes, it can be done. Yes? Why do you think I'm kidding?
I have another friend I'd like you to see for a while.
Absolutely not. But you can invite him over with you and have them get to know each other and then excuse yourself. And if the guy is the kind of guy who they would connect with, understand? Then you can connect in that direction. Right? Unless the guy's just, you know, interested in Judaism because he's really attracted to you. Which happens. To sell yourself for the cause? No.
not as much as saying that, oh, I have to be, you know, like, 100%, you know, I'm going to be tired of myself, I'm going to be more of, like, I would think, in a way, that it's a sin of Hashem, if they were me, if I went back to something and said, hi, you know, I know you're just trying to, you know, learn about another way than the way you know, but, and you're getting maybe even a little bit open to it, but, you know what,
I'm too many questions, so can you, like, go find me? Like, I would...
Secular people are much easier to deal with than Orthodox. Because secular people still have a concept of having respect for other people's views. So therefore, when I came up from my year in Eretz Yisrael, and I had relationships with girls that I didn't find attractive in the least, who used to bug me, you know, I had nothing to do with, basically, but I had this relationship, and it was very strong, and, you know, the family, friends, and blah, 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 and my Rebbe said to me, you have to break these off. And I wrote them all very nice letters, and I said, I'm very sorry, it hurts me, but this is what my Rebbe said to me. And the letters I got back were, I don't understand it, I don't agree, but I respect your opinion. Well, you see, it doesn't work that way. In other words, there's a rule, right? I was once teaching in a conservative high school, Hebrew high school, and and I was really doing some jobs with these kids. The whole issue came up with davening without a machitza and this anything. So the guy was ostensibly Orthodox, he like ran the youth group, and so they asked him point blank, I understand, this is awesome. So he says, there's a concept. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera. But sometimes avera gereres mitzvah. You have to know when and in what circumstances. And everybody nodded. And I said, it's a good point, except for one thing. It doesn't say that. My Mishnah says, avera gereres avera. It doesn't say, and sometimes a mitzvah. You understand? So I say I'm going to do something wrong and something good will come out of it. There is a God who runs the world. I believe in him, really, very strongly. And I believe that if I do the right thing, that's my obligation, and nothing bad will happen because of it. Yeah, I trust God. God also runs the world. You see? I know we think that if we don't take care of it, then God won't know what to do. So if I don't work with this guy won't be firm, and it's up to me, and God, he has his laws, but he has to understand. Sometimes I know better, you see? And when push comes to shove, at some point we have to take on a certain humility and say, there is a God who runs the world, and he told me not to do this, and it hurts, and I don't understand it, but if I have to sometimes take my kid up onto a mountain and sacrifice him because God said so, God said so. And if my mom is going to be really upset at me because I came back, and I learned now that, you understand, you can't wash your dishes in the same dishwasher, and I'm going to have to change things around, they're going to be very upset at me, tough. And if I come back from Israel, and I suddenly found out that a shear of matzah is much bigger than I thought it was, and everyone's going to eat the little crumb, and I'm going to have to listen to this and shove the stuff down my throat, and gargle with wine, you know what I mean, and everyone's going to laugh at me, that's the law. When push comes to shove, we only have one thing, the Torah. And we're never going to be able to spread the Torah by breaking. Yes? Boy cousins, are no fun. You see, cousins are not brother and sister. Cousins often have relationships that are beyond familial. And therefore, we have to deal with our cousins as we would with other boys. That's why when you find someone who has this like real deep relationship with a boy cousin and they're calling them all the time and that, not healthy. Yes. Oh, so that's why, you understand, if you're involved in a relationship which is inherently unhealthy, then you have to suspect that there's something unhealthy going on. If, however, we're in a controlled environment, which is what dating should ideally be, right, and therefore I had the guy checked out first to make sure that I'm what he's looking for, and he had me checked out and he knows that I'm what he's looking for, and now the two of us are starting, and there are controls, and there's limitations, and we both have advisors, then you know that everyone's doing the best they can to keep things on the up and up. Short of that, there are no guarantees. I'm going to tell you a story. I hate to even tell the story. I'm embarrassed to tell it. A guy calls me up with a story. I get embarrassed sometimes. Embarrassed. Guy calls me up. They're married about a year and a half. And he says, listen, I never really learned Hilchos Nida that well. Tell me if this makes sense. My wife went to the mikvah and she had a shiloh because she had some kind of, skin rash, whatever it is, and she goes to a rav. And this is a rav who's a machabes svarim. You understand? And this is a rav who's the head of a shkuna and everything. You understand? And he says, let me see it. And he starts to feel it. He starts to check it. And he says, is it other places in your body? He says, yes. And he has her disrobe. and he touches her in different places, and then he says his mother. And she came back, she came back with a vague feeling that this is wrong. And she tells her husband who lives in the mirror, and he does not look at me, but he also thinks it's wrong. And he calls me up to ask me. I said, are you crazy? This guy's a sicko. With the Alalonga coat and with the hat and with the bit and the beard and everything. And we called Rebel, and I made him go to Rebel Yashiv, and Rebel Yashiv said there had been another problem, and there were all kinds of, you know, checks and balances put on him. Now I see he can't possibly need the shadows anymore. And he went to his wife, and when his wife Lucius took the telephone with her, and all kinds of things. Understand? When he says, end up with trouble, it's right, it means everybody. And if a guy comes over to you, be him a rav, be him a yeshiva guy, be him this, be that, you know, you have to go in with a pacha. You have to go in and say, ain't nothing trouble with Arayos. I gotta be careful. I'm lost. You gotta help me with this one. You mean if he's engaging in a physical relationship with you?
Yes.
Dumb, dumb, dumb! Have you been listening? Dumb! Alright, let's put all the cards on the table. Ladies, if there's anyone here who's not shown in the ear, see if what I'm saying makes sense. Do you ever notice that when, you know, you're with a particular guy, you make a line and you say we won't pass this line? And then you make another line, you say we won't pass that line. And then you make another line, and at some point you say this went too far, and we say we're going to be shoving the gear. And then when you start and you break it, which you always do, you don't start from the first line, you pick up at the third line. Alright? Can anyone tell me that this is not what usually happens? This, that your mom is playing with fire. I'm telling you, there is no guy who from holding hands or hugging or kissing is going to walk away fulfilled. He's going to want more. That's a reality. It's a physical reality. And if a guy tells you no, he's lying. He's lying. Yes? It's funny to me. There was, in my share this morning, people said, I don't know how they found out about it. But they said to me, so Rabbi, I hear you speaking, but there's some institute tonight. I said, how do you know? Rumor has it. Can we come? I said, no, you can't come. She says, well, what are you going to say? I said, in essence? Said, yeah. So I'm going to go off on the kinds of Russian back to college and how girls are dumb and they fall for these really dumb lines. She said, Rabbi, you can't tell them that. I said, but it's true. Said, no, but you can't tell them that. You understand? They were petrified. Every guy knows it. When I said this to a guy's group, this discussion lasts 2 minutes. Everyone says, you're right. You're right. I used to have the gear. You know, the gear would come up. So I knew you'd get experience. You'd answer these things for a few years. So I used to say, the chacham say, the chacham, the sayra, ba-ba-ba-ba. They would argue back, ba-ba-ba. We go on and on like this. After all, I just said, you guys are lawyers. You tell me you really want to hold their hands and you're satisfied? And every guy says, you're right, I'm lying. That's it. No guy even tries. Guys know that girls fall for dumb lines. You don't believe it, but it's so true. I'm telling you, when I sit down, that's why somebody tries to do this in a mixed group, because girls like to become horrified. They can't believe it. They say, not mine, I'm not the guy I'm friendly with, he's different, he's special, he's this, he's that, ba 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 ba. Forget it! It just doesn't happen. And I tell them this, when I told this group, I'm above board. You know, the stuff is being taped. I'm not embarrassed what I'm saying. You know, when I said to the guys, I said, listen, before we start, you know that you hold the cards. Because you know that girls fall for the dumbest lines. And they went, like, yeah. Like, they don't know. This is like so perverse, the guys. To you, it's like a finish. Oh, can't it be? Forget it. And the guys are such a double parker. They know this black and white. Any other questions? Yes?
Are you saying that, guys that all are going to fill up your family friends or whatever?
Your family, friends. Do people ever...
Yeah, I'm assuming, no, that's your mother's friend's son. So,
it's an interesting Rashi on the Parsha of Shlomo's Bat Divri. It's good to read that through. But in any event, I'm going to refer you to the Rav Moshe Tshuva for the nitty-gritties of when and how and how much. Does that mean I have to work down the finger? You know what I mean? No. But I have to, when I get involved in a relationship, in a conversation, I have to have my guard up. Yes. Better safe than sorry. I tell you, you only have one life. It's a pity to waste it on things that you're going to regret when you're married 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Oh, come on, don't worry about it.
I'm curious. If all guys have this on their mind, then how come we have so many men nowadays? I'm just curious. Like, what are we thinking
of? No, I'm serious. I can vouch for Rabbi Lorax. You have nothing to worry about. No, I'm kidding. I know certain guy rabbis who won't teach in girls' school.
But there are.
And those who do teach in girls' schools, you know, Reverend Redmond teaches here, so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Some say yes, some say no, okay? come, when it comes time for the transcripts, it's going to be some interesting explaining to do. But anyway, was I in this class? Anyway, you know, Reverend Redmond told me, I mean, his wife is here, I'm not embarrassed to say it, you know, Reverend Redmond said to me, when he teaches, he sets up Gedarim, and there are limits, and he has hours, and he, you know, he does not relate with his girl students the same way he does with his guy students, and nor should he. Well, they broke it to make it so.
I mean, Tamesha
Torah told me that he is able to talk to a girl and not see her. It takes a while. Right? He said it to me, not to a girl. If he said it to a girl, I'd suspect it. We'd all snicker. You know what I'm saying? But you're right. Well, Revolvi doesn't talk to women. He stopped talking to women. You understand? You're right. There is a certain concept. So therefore, you know, when a guy walks in to teach girls or to relate to girls, yes, he should do it with kedarim and with a certain papa. You have to set limits. You have to know how and what and within a certain context. You know, and I will never relate to girls that I teach or that I work with the same way I will to guys. I won't.
The same way, but
still. So you're right. It's a danger. It's a danger. It's an occupational hazard, and you have to know how you handle it. You're right. If I tell you it's not a problem, I'm lying to you. Okay? Yes, your men teachers have to deal with this too. Not every record, but other people. Yes. Hi. See, I don't have this problem because after I talk to a girl, because nobody wants to talk to me ever again. You know what I mean? He's terrible. Yes. It's your brother. I'm going to tell you a story. One second. Hold the phone. I was asked to give a shiur in my neighborhood in Hanover for women. And I told you after my first traumatic experience, I wasn't interested in getting involved. But okay, I gave it a try. So I don't give it a shiur. I started giving a shiur in the Sosa Shark. To married women in the neighborhood. Some seminary girls come, all sorts of stuff. But they tell me, how many people come. They say, 10. They think you have to figure for these married women. Sure, I'm 10 to 15. You know, I said, okay, you know, I never did it. I'll give it a try. First week we had 35. Next week we had 45. Next week we had 55. Then we hit about 60. That's what we are. And I don't know why. It must be the book. In any event, when I give the shiur, I have to tell you the truth. I don't know who's there. There's a bus stop across from Superstar. Whenever I'm coming out, I try to give an Ungar Gishav a better ride. You know, occasionally women get in, you know, they say, oh, Rabbi Alasky, I love your shiur. And sometimes they just, you know, say, thank you very much, but I say, who are you? And I say to my wife afterwards, who was there? She says, didn't you see? You move yourself into a different, you try to move yourself into a different plane. You know, certain people you notice and certain things you notice, you know, but you're right. You know, you have to go in with a different approach. But
yeah, one
yes, yes. Girls also have the power to dehumanize. Not as good as guys. No, guys know perfectly well. very hard to seduce a guy against his will. Even if you think so, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like, oh no, save me. Yes.
What about, like, when you have, like, a
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I had a guy, I was talking to a yeshiva guy last year, who was ready to marry a non-Jewish girl. With the understanding that hopefully she was going to convert and such. And there's a guy running a yeshiva from a front family. Because they formed this relationship over the internet, and it got really heavy, and then her father died, and she contacted him, and he finally went out to see her, and they formed this really powerful relationship. I don't know if that answers the question. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah? Okay. So, ladies, it's been a pleasure. And my goal this evening was not to upset anyone. It's a nice side benefit. My goal was just to, I have to tell you, you know, rabbis are notorious for beating around the bush. I don't know how many of you experienced this in day school, where you go over and you try to pin down a rabbi and you're like, well, it's hard to say, I don't really know, that's because often they're afraid of offending, or they're afraid of losing their job, etc. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling it to you only because you've got to hear it from someplace. You know, I've had to pick up the pieces too many times of girls who ruin their lives in these kind of really crummy relationships and really dopey things. And always, I hear the cry, but he said, but I believed it, but I couldn't have thought, I never would have imagined. And then I say, but didn't people tell you? Yes, but I said that this one's different. Right? We always say that. And, it's a halacha, and not the Trump's not right. The Chazal was giving us good advice. Let's take advantage of it while we have the opportunity. Thank you very much.